Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering the show. Ray, the third storm is coming through the area. This one to be a bit more potent, we are told. We'll see if it holds up as advertised. And then things will clear out for a big weekend. All the Beyond events are coming up Saturday. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We do welcome you, Ray, and me, and all of the folks here at KVOI, to Buckmaster on a Thursday, January 7th, 2016. We are in kickoff week. This is our sixth year on the radio. This is week one of year number six, coming to you live via AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream the show, buckmastershow.com, which gets you over to kvoi.com, so you can hear the program really anywhere in the world. Heard from some friends of mine in England today who say they occasionally catch the show. And a lot of our topics have kind of a universal appeal, not necessarily very, very local. And of course, folks in England probably don't care about TUSD.
I'm sure they do, Bill.
But there are other items that they are very interested in. The voice you just heard was Dr. Mark Stegeman. Mr. Stegeman, Dr. Stegeman, is a University of Arizona economist. He's a governing board member for the Tucson Unified School District. How many years, Mark, on the board now? First elected in when?
Well, this is my seventh, so I guess 2008.
Wow. Yep. 12:30 today, a preview of Saturday's Beyond events, and then we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster legal advisor, Don Luce. Mr. Luce will be commenting on Clint Bolick being named from the Goldwater Institute to become on the Arizona Supreme Court. Our live line number 790-2040. If you have any questions, comments, concerns for Dr. Stegeman, he's always a good sport, and we'll... We'll be happy to field your question. Our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we're doing the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Very well, Bill. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You had a very busy morning. You, along with educators from all over Southern Arizona, converged at the Tucson Convention Center this morning for a very big education event. This was kind of the Tucson Values Teachers event, correct?
Well, it was sponsored by them and SALC and the university's College of Education all jointly sponsored it.
What was the take-home message, at least during the breakfast meeting, for you?
Well, it was all about retention and strategies for retention. The person I found most interesting was a professor, naturally, that they brought in from, I think, Pennsylvania. And he was showing the results of a big national survey of why teachers leave teaching, when they leave. And his overall message was the big problem is turnover. It's not just getting people in, but so many people are constantly leaving. And so why are they leaving? And it had to do, the things that teachers said a lot were the administrative climate at their schools, and they didn't feel they had enough control.
Money. And what about money?
Well,
that's what we always hear is the top.
Well, in the national survey, that was mentioned by only 30-some percent. So, and he pointed out himself that in Arizona, the results tend to be different, that it's more of an issue here because our salaries are low. But in a national survey, that was 30-something percent. Student behavior, which is an issue I'm concerned about, we've talked about it, was mentioned by 48% of the teachers who left as a reason.
The student behavior, the teacher is just not feeling comfortable with some of the the atmosphere in the classroom being less than conductive to an educational experience.
Yeah, or maybe even the atmosphere
maybe
in the
even
hallways.
Their safety, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's strange.
And you put out recently an email that I think was 12 pages long. Yep. About climate, the student climate at TUSD. If you were giving it a grade, what grade would you give the overall climate?
Well, as with lots of things, it varies tremendously from school to school. I mean, some schools are fine, but I think in TUSD, I don't know, it might be somewhere between C and D.
What's the major problem?
I think there are two problems. The first is that our policy structure is not very strong. It's confusing and incoherent. I mean, there's internal contradictions in it, and that's one of the reasons the letter was so long. I was going through that. And partly that comes from the desegregation case rules, and partly we just did it to ourselves. And the other half is there's a culture independent of policy that I think goes too far toward trying to help the perpetrator and not worry about the effect on all the rest of the students. And I think it's important to reach out to kids who have problems and try to fix those problems. And the board at TUSD is, I'd say, pretty well fixated on the concept of severing the school-to-prison pipeline. And that's a good concept. That's a very good pipeline to sever. But when 95% of the students suffer because of 5% of them acting like bullies, that's not good either. And let me just mention one more thing. We had a situation at Seacrest, which had just got out of control, hit the headlines of the Star.
At Seacrest
Middle School.
Okay. What happened there?
Well, the student behavior was out of control.
Okay.
And there were so many reports that the district sent in a team. The Star ran a headline about it, and they changed the principal. I went to a PTA meeting where the district explained all that stuff, and the part that stuck with me was a group of students who came to the meeting and read a prepared statement, which was just heartbreaking, about how they weren't ready to go to high school because of everything, and how they felt sorry for the teachers, and they were so grateful to the teachers that stayed despite the abuse that they got. And why wasn't there more support? And kids like that, they're just mystified that educational administrators don't get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think maybe we should have like kids making, you know.
We kids should like, making the decision.
Well, I don't know about that, but at least, you know, I think
put
that.
Put a kid on the governing board.
Well, let's just say sometimes I think that a well-motivated high school student might be better grounded than some of the governing board members.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is here. Dr. Stegeman is one of the governing board members at TUSD, and there is leadership, really no change in leadership. TUSD board members Adelita Grijalva and Crystal Foster will lead the governing board for the fourth consecutive year in the roles as president and clerk. Dr. Stegeman, along with Michael Hicks, another board member, voted no on this, but officially you didn't vote no. I read in the paper this morning you had a bad phone connection or something.
Well, yeah, I was in
what the heck was going on?
Well, I was still in San Francisco, and I was in a food court.
Oh my goodness.
The reception wasn't too good. So
in
that was
between
just
bites of your hamburger at the food court.
Well, anyway,
you tried to do a thumbs down on that decision. Okay, let me ask you. If you were the governing board president, say the board had just come out of left field on some really, that would have been a huge story if you had suddenly been named as the president of the governing board. And what would your first priority
be? I can't
be?
Really wrap my mind around that. That's so counterfactual, Bill.
Well, what would you do as the president? What would some of your actions be?
Well, if you can't do much as the president unless you have the support of the board. So let's just make it even more counterfactual and said that I had a majority that was really supportive.
Okay.
I think we need to do a complete external review of the top level of administration, which is like the top 40 or 50 positions, and just have, I think we would want to survey all the principals anonymously in a way where their anonymity was protected and say, tell us, what is good? What is bad? What's working? What's not working? Do 360 evaluations of all the top, as I say, maybe three dozen administrators, and then figure out probably a new organizational structure at the top of the organization. I mean, I really think we need to do a big management overhaul.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us, and before I get into another topic, and that is your fellow board member, Crystal Ann Foster, and her recent op-ed, the headline of the op-ed, When Adults Must Win, Kids Lose. We'll get Dr. Mark Stegeman's opinion on that, but Ray, I think this would be a good time to take our first break. I thought I heard some rain, pretty heavy rain, on the rooftop here at KVOI, so it may be really coming down around town. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegeman is here. Dr. Stegeman, one of the governing board members at TUSD. One of the other board members, Crystal Ann Foster, had an op-ed. The headline was, "When Adults Must Win, Kids Lose." This was in response to star columnist Tim Steller, who wrote that he feels, quote, vindicated when it comes to his point of view in the TUSD desegregation federal court case. Dr. Stegeman, I think a lot of people are really out in left field that don't understand what this case is all about.
The district got sued in 1974, I think, for segregation. And in 1978, the district was found guilty of segregating African-American students. And then there was a bunch of complex legal history, but we wound up in a settlement in 1978. And the expectation at the time, we would be out in 5 years. And
in 19 when?
78 was a settlement, okay. And it was sort of a target of coming out from court oversight in 5 years.
That's a long time ago.
In 1983. So we're right now, we are 30 years behind, more than 30 years behind. So that's what was supposed to happen. The initial settlement was pretty simple, But it went on and on and on. The district collected a lot of money, DSEG funds. People think that might be one reason it went on and on and on. That might be true. Then when Judge Burry got the case more than 10 years ago now, he said, enough is enough. You know, get out and submit a plan to get out. And the district did submit a plan under Fagan and to get out. And Burry let us out, said, okay, you're not under court oversight. Mm-hmm. But then it went up to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit basically said, TUSD has been so bad in and so irresponsible that you cannot let them out from court oversight yet. And so then Burry had to take us back, and he's probably not happy about it. But supposedly, we have a chance in the next several years to get out again, but I'm not sure that our record will justify it.
Would the district then lose a lot of money getting out of it?
Well, no. The statute that provides the money says that you have to use the money for things that were done under a DSEG plan. Okay. Phoenix Union came out from its court oversight years ago, but still gets the money. So I think there's a perception we would lose the money is not correct as statute is currently written.
What did you think of this op-ed piece?
Well, I think the board majority doesn't like to take responsibility for anything. Well, first, the title, When Adults Must Win, Kids Lose, that makes it sound like a zero-sum game. I mean, I think if you're running the district properly, the adults and kids would all be winning. So I don't quite understand that. But I disagree more substantively with some of her statements. So she says one of the things Esteller pointed out correctly was our legal costs have just jumped through the roof the last several years. So she says very few disputes have been initiated by TUSD, and yet we do have to respond when objections are filed. And then she says we're just trying to clarify things. Well, let me read you what the judge wrote a year and a half ago. The judge wrote, commented negatively, and it's in boldface here, as you can see, about the aggressive legalistic positions recently asserted by TUSD. That was a year and a half ago. And in all of Judge Burry's decisions since then, which are pretty lucid decisions, I mean, you can learn a lot about the DSEG case just by reading what he writes about it. He continually returns this theme. TUSD is too litigious. They keep re-raising the same issues over and over. They're not cooperating with the plaintiffs. So I disagree with her characterization. I think that TUSD is creating its own problems.
How does this get solved?
The DSEG thing in particular?
Yeah.
I think we need to sit down with the plaintiffs and start cooperating instead of arguing. And we need to sit down with the special master and develop a more cooperative atmosphere. Now, they had, after this big blow up with the magnet school funding, which we could spend an hour talking about, and Stella wrote about quite well, they had a conference in early October. Special master flew in, the Mendoza plaintiffs, attorneys flew in from Los Angeles for a day and a half to try to work things out. She says, and I don't mean to be critical, but she said, and I'm sort of responding to her criticism of the plaintiffs.
Uh-huh.
She says it's been very hard to work with these folks, but she didn't show up for even 1 minute of this conference where they had flown in from out of state. The superintendent didn't even show up for 1 minute. So how are you going to bring people together if you won't even enter the room? That's the problem. But we need to have more face-to-face like that.
All right. And of course, the other board members are always welcome on this program. We'll have... We have Dr. Sanchez already scheduled here in a couple of weeks to be on the program. And, of course, Crystal Ann Foster is always welcome to give her side as well. Dr. Sanchez put out a couple of goals for the year. And, again, you and Mr. Hicks said no to those particular goals. What was the main problem there?
Well, I think there were 25 or 26 goals, and they were similar to what we did last year. And none of them refer to building enrollment. None of them refer to improving school climate. And only one of them refers to setting any particular standards for student achievement. And I think that's what the district's really about. And so they just, aside from the fact there's too many of them, it's really hard to evaluate 25 or 26 goals. That's crazy. I mean, John Petticone had like 3 or 4 goals. But aside from the fact it's just way too many, they don't reflect my philosophy of what's important in a district, which is building enrollment, improving school climate, and building student achievement.
What about a bond issue? Will there be, the district says there's talk about a bond election in November. Is that true?
I think that's what they're aiming for.
Hmm.
And they've hired a consultant to put that together. And the consultant interviewed the board members, which I appreciated, and is interviewing lots of the other stakeholders to see what people would support. I'm not sure what our chances are with that.
Why? Because people have such, they don't want a bond right now, or do they have a low opinion of TUSD?
Well, I think the county bonds sent sort of a negative signal. Now, those went down partly because of the rural areas that
yes.
are in part of TUSD.
Yes.
So you've got a better voter base in TUSD, but I'm not sure that people are confident that TUSD is going to spend its money well. And personally, what I have said for years is when I want to go out to the voters again, and we've been turned down the last several times we did it, I want to go out. This is just Mark talking. I would like to go out for an override that goes 100% to teachers, you know, through some combination of compensation and class size reductions, 100%, nothing else in there. And I think the public might support that.
Speaking of teachers, caller Matthew would like to bring up the subject of teachers with Dr. Mark Stegeman. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, first, I absolutely agree. It's useless to have 25 goals because you cannot focus. And if you cannot focus on priorities, you obviously don't know what the priorities are. That's just ridiculous. But in all, Mr. Hicks and Dr. Stegeman have a tendency to talk about their philosophy, you know, what they want to see, and I get it. You and the rest of the board just have nothing, no common ground on how TUSD should be run. But I would suggest to you all that if you fail the basics, and if you can't answer the question, how many teachers are in a classroom right now? How many students do they have? And, you know, the basics around, you know, the core of your instruction is your teachers. And
okay.
you know they're failing, that the entire state is failing that. And I'm sure that all this other stuff is fun to talk about, but it's not helping the situation. Thank you.
Okay, Matthew. The question to you, I guess, do you know how many teachers how many students are in the classroom on average with the teacher?
Well, I know our student number is about 47,000.
Okay.
I mean, it's something plus or minus. And we've got something like 3,500, 4,000 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not quite as precise on that number. One interesting thing that came out this morning was he said that if teachers' salaries had risen at the same rate over the last several decades, now this is nationally,
mm-hmm.
as per pupil spending, then the average teacher salary would be $120,000 now.
Wow.
And what he was saying was that of the money that's put into education nationally, a much higher fraction is not going to teachers. It's going to all this administrative and other stuff.
And when you refer to he, for those who are perhaps joining us and didn't hear your opening comments, you were at this event this morning at the TCC, and there was a professor, an education expert from, I believe, Pennsylvania.
I think so, yeah.
Who you were very impressed with and who did not put teacher salaries as the number one issue, at least nationwide, and why teachers leave the classroom.
Well, it's an important issue, but no, in his survey results and also in his presentation, he did not think it was number one. Number one was dissatisfaction with the job once they start teaching. And that came out in the surveys. And he said, his framing was that it's not that we aren't training enough teachers. It's we aren't retaining them and keeping them in the profession, which is partly about salary, but more about what happens once they start teaching.
Did you make any New Year's resolutions get along perhaps with the other board members?
I would really like to. As I have said on this show before, and I hope, you know, I don't want my comments to sound too negative, and I'm always trying to be careful about that. I as I've said before, I would be very happy to sit down, have coffee, which is perfectly legal, with Crystal Foster or Cam Juarez. And they just have not been willing to do that for several years. I mean,
but are you saying right now that you would love to schedule it?
I said it the last time I was on, absolutely. And I wrote Crystal an email a while back, and she just said it's not appropriate.
Just not working right now.
It's just not, but I don't know how. It's like this conference where we had everyone at the table except the superintendent. You know, I mean, you can't work things out if you're not talking.
All right. Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you have a nice new year.
I plan to, and I think it'd be great to have a board retreat.
Okay. You know,
that would be maybe a way we could sit down together. And
your house? No.
Yeah, sure.
Dr. Mark Stegeman with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll talk about the Beyond events, which are coming up Saturday right after this. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Friday for our Friday Focus interview with State Senator Steve Farley. The roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch, all happening noon to 1 on Buckmaster on Friday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson for a really totally different experience. You can do hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. And of course, downtown Silver City has been completely restored. Great restaurants and a lot of opportunities just to hang out and enjoy an area totally different from Tucson. You can walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. That's just north of Silver City. Again, only 3 hours to a great experience over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Check out their website, Southwest New Mexico, that's spelled out, .org, and has the full listing of great places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and the many things to do. Well, Friday, tomorrow, January 8th, marks the 5th anniversary of the terrible Tucson shootings, in which 6 were killed and 14 others injured, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. On Saturday, everyone is invited to take part in an event that has now become an annual event, and we're glad it has. It's called Beyond. Commemorate, Celebrate, Commit, which was originally put together by the family of slain congressional aide Gabe Zimmerman. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Gabe's dad, Ross Zimmerman, is with us. And Ross kind of set this whole thing up about, it's 4 years ago, right?
This will be the fifth Beyond.
The fifth Beyond.
Yes. Yeah. And what happened is we had a set of conversations initiated by my wife's cousin, Steve Golden, who's helped create the National Park Service Rivers and Trails Community Engagement Program, and he wanted to help us devise something for our community. And stakeholders came together from all over the community. We realized as the anniversary started to appear on the horizon that we wanted to get as many people out and about together as possible, and the name Beyond rose because we want to move beyond.
Looking beyond, right?
And yeah. What we're hoping now is we want this to take on a life of its own and not be merely an echo of a tragedy. And that seems to be occurring. We're very, very encouraged by the community involvement and the excitement associated with it.
Also with me in studio is Allison Wood. Allison is from the School of ASU Social Work, and she's helping with the Beyond events. You were at Virginia Tech, I believe, when the horrible shooting back there happened. What's kind of your overall impression of what Ross and others have done with the Beyond events?
Sure, Bill, that's right. I was a sophomore at Virginia Tech when the shooting happened there. And both there and here in Tucson, I've been so impressed by the community's response, that really in the face of such overwhelming sadness and tragedy, that the community comes together and celebrates life and becomes stronger. And that's really what this event on Saturday is all about.
So you really want to move, as Ross was saying, beyond the horrible events to try to have something positive. And certainly when you look at the slate of events, Allison, that beyond getting people outdoors, and there's such a variety of events, has that impressed you, that overall variety?
It definitely has. There are so many stakeholders from all over the Southern Arizona region, from Marana and Oro Valley to Saguaro National Park and Colossal Cave, I know has been a partner in past years, that people are really pitching in to do what they can to celebrate life. I've heard Ross say so many times that really this event is about living the best lives that we can live and being healthy in all the different ways that we can be healthy for the future.
I know Gabe must be smiling down from heaven because this is really turning out to be such a popular event.
This is very much the sort of activity he'd want to be involved with. And yes, I'm very pleased. And in fact, I commented to Michelle a couple days ago that I was just thinking that if Gabe had a big sister, she'd be a lot like Michelle.
What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful compliment. Mm-hmm. This year, Do you want to highlight a few of the events? Are there some new things that we should know about this year, Ross?
There are a couple. One that's very interesting. Oh, heck. I don't know if I can get the acronym correct, but the Business Alliance of Local Entrepreneurs is doing a conference at noon at our Armory Park main event, and that ought to be quite interesting, quite worthwhile. And right after that, we have actually an example of a local entrepreneur, Dr. Dietmar Gann, whose Diet of Hope program has helped 8,000 people in this community and that 900 local physicians have referred people to. And that's an interesting avenue for local entrepreneurship. Actually, I would like to hand off to Allison because she is much more familiar with the things on the ground than I am, and let's see what she has to say.
I think there are at least almost two dozen events, right, Allison, this
year? There
are.
There are lots of
opportunities. Why don't you hit on a few of the ones that that you would like people to know about?
Sure. There are lots of opportunities all over town for people to get engaged in their community with physical movement, with learning about good nutrition. Some examples, like Ross has said, we'll have a big event from noon to 3 p.m. on Saturday in Armory Park in downtown Tucson. That'll be a resource fair so people can learn about different ways to connect with their community. We'll have some speakers inside the senior center. We'll also have a big rock wall for kids to climb and a bounce castle. Across town, there's a stroll and roll for people of all ages and all ability levels at the Christina Taylor Green Linear Memorial Park. There's a storytelling adventure at Valley of the Moon. There's an ultimate frisbee tournament in Oro Valley.
So no shortage of opportunities for people get out and recreate, as they say. Probably a good way is to send to the folks to the website, and they can then go through the whole menu of what's available. And the website is,
definitely,
Allison?
The website is beyond-tucson.org.
Okay. Ross, I want to talk a little bit about the January 8th Memorial Foundation. You're a board member there. What is the latest on the thinking about when we are actually going to see this memorial?
That's a very good question. And next week, there's going to be the unveiling of the final design ideas after a multi-month collaborative process where the design firm of Chi Sillette worked with stakeholders from the community to take their original design ideas and turn those into something that's relevant to our community. We're started the fundraising associated with that, and the concept will take an area on the west side of the historic courthouse and build a pretty extraordinary pair of crescents that we hope will be a wonderful feature in downtown Tucson and help revitalize the Presidio area. And that's actually in conjunction with the master plan.
Yeah, I like what I see, the drawings I've seen. I like the fact there's going to be a performance area,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so this is more of a, you talk about beyond, well, this is looking beyond and coming together.
Absolutely.
In the downtown area.
The county very much encouraged us to broaden our scope in thinking about this and asked the design firm to look at a master plan for the area, although our direct responsibility for fundraising is associated with the January 8th memorial piece of it right next to the courthouse. But that plan will be a blueprint the county and city could use in the years to come to keep redeveloping that area.
All right. It should be a very ambitious undertaking, and we hope it all goes very well. We'll be learning more about that next week, correct?
Absolutely. Right. On the 15th.
And getting back to Beyond, Allison, again, give us the website, and the variety is kind of the word that just keeps popping up in my head because there's something for everybody, as they say.
That's true. Our website is beyond-tucson.org. People can also find our Facebook page with all the event listings. Just search Beyond Tucson on Facebook and come down and drum and dance and eat some good food and enjoy yourself on Saturday.
Allison, thank you very much. A pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
And Ross, always good to see you.
As always,
for the work you're doing. All right, coming up on 1244 on the Buckmaster Show, we continue. The counselor is in the house, Attorney Don Luce. He's next.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're joined in studio by Attorney Don Luce, Mr. Luce of Luce Brown and Hobb Kirk & Associates. They have offices here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's one of 24 contributors to our program, and we're always delighted to have him. He usually comes on the program the first Thursday of each month. Don is the author of 2 very popular books that are geared for consumers. They are not geared for lawyers, although although lawyers would probably find them very interesting. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. Don Luce, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Bill, and the same to you.
Estate planning in Arizona is something that should be probably on the top of anybody's list. People like to think, well, what am I going to do in the new year? Resolution? Hey, get your estate in order.
That's a very good point. A lot of people put that on their 2016 to-do list.
And whether or not they'll do it, well, that'd be another thing, but at least it's on the list. A court appointment, a high court appointment. There are five justices of the Arizona Supreme Court, and Governor Ducey has made, there was an opening, and he's made his first appointment. What do we know about Clint Bowlick?
Clint Bowlick was somebody who, in my estimation, came out of nowhere, so to speak. The Judicial Commission sent to the governor a list of seven names, six of which were appellate court judges. Now, typically, the governor picks somebody from that list who has prior judicial experience, like a court of appeals judge. In this case, Governor Ducey selected Clint Bowlick, who has no judicial experience whatsoever, but who is himself a very experienced litigator and considers himself to be somewhat of an activist. Mr. Bowlick most recently was with the Goldwater Institute, which I think your listeners probably know is a public advocacy group known for filing quite a few lawsuits and known for their positions on limiting government and limiting government regulation.
Well, I've had Clint Bowlick on our show a couple of times. He is a legal activist and a very, very articulate guy. But, you know, he is a departure. As you're saying, normally the pipeline is a previous judge gets to this appointment. So this is different.
It is. Now, it's interesting to note that there aren't many qualifications to become an Arizona Supreme Court justice. And as you pointed out, Bill, there are only five justices. So unlike the United States Supreme Court, which has nine justices, our state Supreme Court only has five justices. So when you make a change in a justice, and Clint Bowlick is replacing Rebecca White, who's retiring, you're essentially changing 20% of the court. One out of five people is being changed, and the significance of the new justice's background and qualifications becomes pretty important. But anyway, a Supreme Court justice in Arizona only needs to really be under 70 years of age and admitted to the practice of law in Arizona and be a resident of Arizona for 10 years or more. Other than that, there aren't any qualifications that would be applicable. So when we look at the list that was sent this most recent time to Governor Ducey, we saw that there were six appellate court judges, and then, of course, Clint Bowlick, who has no judicial experience. And I think, to his credit, the governor wasn't afraid to go outside of the box a little bit and pick somebody who had no prior judicial experience.
So that's very interesting. I had no idea. So if you're under 70 years old and you have passed the bar, right? You got to pass the bar.
Got to pass the bar. And you have to be in practice for 10 years.
Oh, okay. Practice for 10 years. So this would be very interesting. And how important is the Arizona Supreme Court?
Well, the Arizona Supreme Court is our court. When I say are, the state of Arizona's court of last resort. So any decision by a trial court or by a court of appeals in Arizona may or may not end up in the Supreme Court. Our Supreme Court, unlike our court of appeals, is known as a discretionary jurisdiction. What that means simply is that unless it's a death case, which is mandatory that the court review, the court does not have an obligation to review the case. And so what the court does, our Arizona Supreme Court looks at the cases that people want it to review and determine if the matter is of considerable statewide significance or would resolve a dispute of a particular law where maybe one division of the Court of Appeals ruled one way and another division of the Court of Appeals ruled the opposite way. But other than that, it regulates activities of the state bar. It admits and oversees the admission of new attorneys. It reviews charges of misconduct against attorneys. It also looks at disciplinary recommendations of Arizona judges that are referred by the Commission on Judicial Conduct. As I mentioned, it does review all death sentence cases, and that those come to it from the trial court. But other than that, it isn't required to be involved in the administration of justice or the interpretation of case law, other than the discretionary cases that it chooses to accept.
Carl called us at 790-2040. He has a good question that he would like to put to Attorney Don Luce. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, you said that they had to be practice law for 10 years. What exactly constitutes practice? A judge, I don't think of as being in practicing law. I think of it as a lawyer. And would a law professor at one of the law schools qualify under that requirement?
That's an excellent question, Carl. Must be admitted to the practice of law in Arizona means that they must be a member in good standing of the State Bar of Arizona for that period.
All right, let's switch gears here. There's another story I wanted to bring up with you, Don, and that is a bill that would let Arizona ignore presidential orders. Arizona legislature often goes against the grain, as we all know, when it comes to federal legislation. And this is Mark Fincham, state representative, a Republican from Oro Valley, who has crafted a bill that he says this was crafted even before President Obama announced this week that he's taking executive action to redefine who is a gun dealer and subject to requirements to do background checks.
Yeah, what we're referring to is House Bill 2024, which was introduced by this first-term lawmaker from Oro Valley, Representative Mark Fincham. Under this proposal, which, by the way, was supported by seven other Republicans, so there are at least eight legislators who have sort of signed on to this measure, but under this proposal, the state of Arizona would not be required to fund any executive order that was issued by the President of the United States unless it was approved by Congress and found to be constitutional, would not be required to fund any directive of any federal agency of the United States unless it met that same standard, and interestingly, would not be required to fund any mandate by the United States Supreme Court regard to anything that it might require the state to do or to cease doing unless it went through the same process, which was essentially congressional approval and then constitutional affirmation. So this legislation, as you pointed out, is yet another step in, I think, defining our independence from the federal government. And I think that the proponents of this legislation want to send a message that the federal government may require the state to do or to cease doing certain things, but if it's going to cost money, then it needs to come through Congress. I think that's the bottom line.
And again, it puts us at loggerheads with the federal government.
Well, it does. But bear in mind, too, that we have a proposition that was passed in 2014. It was Prop 122 just last year. And it amended the state constitution to allow Arizona to refuse to fund what Arizona considers to be an unconstitutional federal action. So This is an expansion of the proposition that passed during the last election. It includes executive orders, federal agency directives, and even U.S. Supreme Court decisions. It's going to be interesting to see what comes of this.
And, of course, it'll be interesting to see. It's always fun to have you, Don Luce, once the legislative session begins, because who knows what kind of legislation will be popping up. It's stuff that it may wind up in your next edition of Arizona Laws 101.
I will say, Bill, it is fascinating to follow Arizona law.
Yeah, indeed it is. Don Luce, thank you very much. Where can people obtain Arizona Laws 101 and estate planning in Arizona?
Well, the easiest place is probably Amazon.com, but the books, I'm proud to say, are also in libraries statewide, and they're on the racks of retail bookstores throughout the state.
And in estate planning in Arizona, that's a pretty much A to Z, very easy way to for folks to realize what is at stake, correct?
It is. It's not just about wealth preservation. You don't need to be a millionaire to worry about estate planning, because it also covers things like healthcare directives and powers of attorney and living wills, all important to people who live in our state and are concerned about protecting their family and succession planning.
Don Luce, Luce Brown and Hobkirk and Associates. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Bill.
This afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. We do 4 hours of local talk here in the morning, 6 to 10. Daily Double comes on after Wake Up Tucson from 8 to 9. And Sean McCluskey comes along, Talk of the Town, 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray Allen for The Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.